numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is hour number two of a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown pinch hitting for Gil Alexander, who's out this week. Somebody else will be in the chair here tomorrow. Kelly Bidlin will still be behind the glass, though. And he will take you with all of his expert knowledge and that beard of his through the rest of the week. But I'm going to be back on the golf course or something like that.
Good,
you know, the weather's gotten nice around here now. You know,
like, it's getting hot quick.
The weather's gotten nice around here. I can go out and not feel like I need to bring a jacket, and that's a big thing for me. You know,
it's for those out there who don't know Matt Brown well, he considers anything under 89 degrees to be too cold. So,
which, by the way, Thursday's supposed to be like a high of 70.
Oh,
I'm just going to stay inside that day. I'm just going to stay inside on Thursday.
Better build a fire. Yeah.
I'm going to build a fire. There's no reason for the. Why does it do this to us every single time? It gets up to the 85 and then it goes back down. It goes right. I just can't deal with
it. It's spring in Vegas.
This is the last time this is happening, though. I promise you. We're done with this. We're into the 85 plus, and I'll just be out and enjoying the sun and all the things like that. All right, now join us here on the program. Let's talk to Joe Sheehan. You can find him over at the Joe Sheehan Newsletter. Be sure and go in and subscribe to that. You should. It is great information. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. I'm just wondering if it's ever too hot for you to play.
No. That's actually the best part about Vegas, is because when it gets to be about 105 every single day, nobody wants to play in the hot. You can go pound out a round of golf in like 2 hours and 15 minutes because it's just wide open. You're just flying around the course. It's amazing. It's the best thing about the middle of summer in Vegas for golf.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I'll play as hot as it is. If you tell me nobody's on the course, I'll play if it's 120.
Yeah, seriously, because that's like the worst thing for me. Standing there waiting, that's like makes it completely unenjoyable for me. All right, Joe, so listen, one thing I do want to get an expert opinion on here, because I've watched a bunch of these games, and I really do start to kind of buy into the Rays being actually legitimately very good. I know there's a lot of people who are saying, they're just running hot, small sample size type of stuff, and that certainly could be the case. We have a ton of games left to play here, but you just kind of look up and down that roster and it's just a bunch of solid dudes, and Arozarena is playing absolutely fantastic, and you've got all these arms that go out and just give you good starts every time they go out there. And I guess my question is why can't this be sustainable?
Well, I mean, nobody's an 800 team, right? I mean, they're on pace to win 120 something games right now. That's not going to hold up. But, you know, I had the Rays as a playoff team with the Jays winning the division. Now, can you make the case that the Rays will win the division and actually be the best team in the AL? Yes. You look at them, and you know, we've known the Rays to be a run prevention team, right? They're very good at finding pitchers, figuring out what they do best, and sending them out there and saying, just do that. Just throw your slider 53% of the time. You know, they're throw your splitter this much, or, you know, move to this side of the rubber. They're very good at getting the best out of their pitchers. What's changed this year is the offense has been incredible. And to me, that's, you know, they've traded for a lot of guys over the years. You just mentioned Arozarena, you know, trading for Christian Betancourt or Yandy Diaz and getting good work out of them. But they haven't developed their own hitters. Wander Franco came up. He had an off year last year. Brandon Lau had a big 2021. He didn't hit. He was hurt. He had a back injury last year. Josh Lau came up last year, didn't hit. Well, those homegrown players now are really contributing. Those three have gotten off to incredible starts. Again, they're not going to hit as well as they have, but they've lengthened that lineup now. You face this Rays team, and you have plus hitters in nine spots of the lineup. It becomes very hard to beat. Even Taylor Wall, who's really a glove guy at shortstop, is off to a good offensive start. So a team that we know is going to keep runs off the board is now one of the best offensive teams in baseball as well.
Joe, who is the biggest mirage so far? Is it the Twins? Is it the Rangers? Or is it the Pirates?
I'd probably say that group, the Rangers, and, you know, stick a pin in Jacob DeGrom. Well, don't do that. He'll be out for 6 weeks. But we'll see how much he pitches the rest of the way. I wasn't a big fan of them coming into the season. I don't think they have the pitching depth behind DeGrom. You know, they signed John Gray last year. Martin Perez has been a good story for them. I don't really trust them, although I will say this. Bochy has great of developing good bullpens out of very little, both in San Diego and San Francisco. So that was probably the biggest benefit of hiring him. But by and large, I see a team that, you know, is very good in the top six or seven roster spots and falls off a lot after that. So if I'm picking from those three teams, I think the Rangers are probably the weakest. You know, the Twins, very good offense, not a lot of pitching depth. Obviously, the injuries they've had, the rotation now, are going to hurt them. They don't have a lot of upper level depth. Surprisingly, Matt, you know, the Pirates, if you look at how they're winning, it's strong strength at the back of the bullpen. Colin Holderman's been good. David Bednar is quietly one of the better closers in baseball. A lot of the trade acquisitions they've picked up have played well, Connor Joe and guys like that. I don't think they can hold on in the sense of they're going to win the division. But I think you have a team that will probably hang around the wild card race most of the year.
The New York Yankees are a team that everybody wants to talk about. They're currently sitting 500 right now, 15-15. We know Giancarlo Stanton's on the IL. They just add Aaron Judge to the IL as well. We talked about how good we think that the Rays are, that there's some sustainability there. You said you had the Jays winning the division as it was anyway. The Orioles now playing at a very high level, 19-9. Can Grayson Rodriguez and all these other young guys continue what they've been doing so far? So where do the Yankees fit into this whole picture? And do you think that this is, you know, what this representative of what we're going to get from the Yankees basically the entire season?
It's tough because they do have a thin offense. And as we're seeing now, you know, they've got a starting outfield being paid $77, $80 million, something like that, on the IL with Stanton, Judge, and Harrison Bader. Last night they started Oswaldo Cabrera, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and me in the outfield. It really is pretty bad for them. They just don't have the depth. And, you know, we saw last night, you know, they're a team that's going to have to win. You know, we think about the Yankees as being this slugging team, but if you look at how they've won games the last couple of years, it's been a lot more about the pitching and the defense. So when they're up 2-0 over the Guardians in a game like last night, they've got to be able to put that away. They've got to win those 2-0, 2-1, 3-2 games. Any one of those that they lose really hurts them. So, you know, they'll get Bader back here shortly. But, you know, Judge and Stanton are two. This is one of the questions about, you know, when the Marlins signed Stanton a zillion years ago, when the Yankees signed Judge last year. I'm not saying it was a mistake to do it. They needed Judge for this team. But when you sign a player who's 6'7", what is Judge, 270, the history of players with that kind of size is really bad. It's basically Dave Winfield, a couple of Frank Howard seasons, and nothing else. So this is the risk with having these really big guys. They do tend to break down in their 30s.
Another team that is certainly underperforming here in the early part of the season is the St. Louis Cardinals, and you kind of look and you say, oh, well, Goldschmidt's doing Goldschmidt things, and certainly Contreras has been good. You're getting some decent production from Nolan Gorman. Like, what's going wrong here? And then you look over at the pitching, and Joe, I guess my question to you here is, you know, they've dug a decent-sized hole, even though we are have a ton of games left to play, but you look at a 10-19 record, and you've got this pitching staff where I just wonder if that's going to be enough for them to be able to dig it out and come out and maybe beat some of these teams that are overperforming right now. Where do you see this Cardinals squad, and do you think that it's too much to overcome?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to win a lot of games 6-5. You remember that opening series with the Blue Jays where 10-9 on opening day, and they scored, I think, 22 runs in the three games? That's got to be their model, which is unusual for the Cardinals. They're usually more winning on pitching and defense, but they just don't have the staff. And this was a concern known coming into the season. They lost Adam Wainwright. Wainwright actually should be back this week. He'll bump probably Jake Woodford for the rotation, but you look up and down that staff, and they don't miss bats. I mean, this has been a problem with this rotation for a while. And the defense is good, but this year it's definitely fallen off a little bit. The other issue, of course, is they have so many. One of the things that I've seen, okay, you basically got 9 guys for 6 lineup spots every day, and none of them are really bench players. You know, it's guys who should be in the lineup, Alec Burleson or Paul DeJong, guys who are decent players. And what they're doing is they're rotating so many of them in and out that nobody can really get established. Nolan Gorman's off to a great start. We saw they just sent down rookie Jordan Walker. Walker, his overall line was fine, but he's just learning right field and not doing it very well. You know, they've got to figure out who they're going to go forward with offensively and who's going to be relegated. They've got to start getting guys like Nootbaar and Carlson into the lineup every single day. This is something I don't think Ollie Marmol's done a very good job with early this season. Figure out the offense. Then I think you score a lot of runs. Look, the Pirates are not going to continue to, you know, win 2 out of every 3 games. I think this is a winnable division. We talked about this online last night. I believe the Cardinals are like plus 310 to win the division right now, and I love that. As far as like a current future, I think the Cardinals will still end up winning this division.
Joe, we got these yes-nos on to make the playoffs. We know that Bryce Harper is coming back for this Phillies team a little bit ahead of schedule. They are about a coin flip to make the playoffs. The yes, minus 105. The no, minus 115. Do you think the defensive woes are going to be too much for this team to overcome, or do you still like this Philly squad long term?
Yeah, with Harper having to DH, of course, now that he's come back, you're talking about Castellanos and Schwarber in the outfield corners. Brandon Marsh is, I mean, that's a lot of ground he's going to have to cover there in center. He's been a great story in the early going. But it's a bad defense. Trey Turner's good, but other than that, it's a pretty weak defensive infield as well. So, yeah, they're going to give up a lot of hits on balls in play. I don't like the depth at all. I mean, without Ranger Suarez, who's also on his way back, you know, their back of the rotation's been tough. I didn't have them making the playoffs at the start of the year, and nothing I've seen in the first 5 weeks here has changed that for me. So I take the no there.
You can find Joe over at the Joe Sheehan newsletter over on the Twitter machine at @Joe_Sheehan. Joe, thanks for the time today, buddy. Do appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
So, Kelly, there's this new thing that's going on. Apparently, as long as you're just a sports fan, Stephen A. Smith just wants to talk to you now. And so I saw him. Fat Joe was on there last week because, yeah. You know, he's a New York. Now he's got Snoop on here just because he's a sports fan. So it's like it seems like Stephen A. is reaching out and he just wants to kind of be in that crowd now. He wants to be able to say like, oh, no, yeah, I text with Snoop and Fat Joe all the time. He just wants like to be in the cool kid crowd now. So just get him on the show. Let's talk sports.
Hey, whoa, Snoop Dogg, potential new NHL team owner, okay?
Or he's, partial team owner.
Yeah, he's
or something.
Part of a bid for the Ottawa Senators.
I mean, how much money did these guys make doing their music? I should was in the wrong career, probably because I can't sing or I can't rap. Let's talk some more divisional odds when we come back here on The Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for just $9.99 and get all access to everything we do, including our upcoming Kentucky Derby betting guide. I think that's coming to you on Thursday. We have profiles on the horses, jockeys, and trainers. So you know which horses are the favorites, the sleepers, and the long shots, plus best bets from Dave Tooley and other VSiN experts to help you make the most out of your Kentucky Derby bets. Not going to last long, so subscribe today for $9.99 over at VSiN.com/subscribe. The big news yesterday for the Kentucky Derby, the post positions were announced. And this is actually a thing. If for the guys that do this seriously, which I do not and Kelly does not either, we are going to fire randomly at this and hope for the best. But post positions do matter, and so the post positions did come out going down 1 to 20 here. Hit show in 1, verifying in 2, 2 fills in 3, confidence game in 4, tap it trice is in 5, King's Barnes in 6, Reincarnate is in 7, Mage 8, Skinner is in 9, Practical Move is in 10, Disarm is in 11, Jace's Road 12, Sun Thunder 13, Angel of Empire, which by the way, we've heard several different times on the network as people liking Angel of Empire, comes in at the 14th position. Forte is your betting favorite in the 15th position. Raise Kane at 16, Derma Sotogake, which is a Japanese horse that is making the start there in the 17 position. Actually, only 10-1 on the morning odds there on Derma Sotogaki. Rocket Can is coming in at the 18th. Lord Miles at 19, and then Continue R is at 20. There are 3 alternate horses: Cyclone Mischief, Mandarin Hero, and then King Russell. And just the reason I do bring this up is let's look no further than last year, in which a horse came out of nowhere and won this thing. The odds on these alternates are not very long. Cyclone Mischief, morning lines 30-1, Mandarin Hero 20-1, and then King Russell 50-1. There's a 20-1 horse that's not even in the race, Kelly. 20-1. It's not even in the race right now in Mandarin Hero. I kind of like that name. I would probably bet the Mandarin Hero.
That is pretty good. That is pretty good. Yeah. We got odds, Circus Sports. They posted odds today. What'd you bring up yesterday? Boyd has them up too.
Yeah.
So for sports bettors out there, you can if you're not into parimutuel odds, you can find odds to lock in now.
I was about to say, if you are new to horse betting, if you are doing this, you know, very, very casually, or if this is your first time ever, just remember, if you were to bet this today, that does not mean, unless you were at a fixed odds place, that does not mean that's the odds that you're going to get the horse at. It is whenever the gates open. Parimutuel betting, everyone bets into the same pool, and then that's how the odds change. And so just remember, if you're new to this, this could be a horse that looks like you're getting I'm going to bet this 50-1 horse. And if everyone starts betting that 50-1 horse, and by the time the gates open, it might be 15-1. So just realize that you won't really know who the long shots are and all of that until we get a lot closer to this race going off. So keep that in mind as you are betting on the Derby, which you will. We're all going to do it. Everyone's doing it. You might as well do it. Kelly, we did miss one AFC division before we get over to the NFC divisions. And I want to talk about, of course, the AFC North. And this is a pretty interesting division from, we talked about the division of death last year, and that didn't play out. Could this be the division of death this year? We have the Bengals, we have the Ravens, we have the Browns, we have the Steelers. Plus 130 on Cincinnati, 3-1 on Baltimore, 360 on Cleveland, and just 4-1 on Pittsburgh. And you look, and there really isn't a super weak team in this division. We expect Cincinnati to be the best team. They have proven that they, with Joe Burrow, as long as he can stay healthy, the playmakers that they have on the offensive side, and they added, by the way, in the draft, they went defense heavy in the draft and added on the defensive side of the ball. I think rightful favorite here, but I don't think anybody is going to be jumping up and down going, how did this happen if Baltimore wins that division? Or even Cleveland, for that matter. Let's remember, you do have now an entire offseason of Deshaun Watson getting, not only knocking off the rust, but getting in there with the offense, being able to really do all that. Remember when he was suspended, he couldn't be in the building. He was not practicing. So this guy did come in after having not played in forever and was kind of winging it last year. And then Pittsburgh actually had a really good draft, in my opinion, as well. We will see what some of these young players can do as they kind of mature here. I think this might be the division of death next year.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the Steelers had a good season last year. I got called out for this on Twitter yesterday, so I'll mention it now. Mike Tomlin never had a losing season. We got to keep that in mind. You know, you're only going to hear that.
You've never heard that. Yes.
Yeah. You know, 490 more times before the season actually starts. I feel like their odds should be longer, though. Like, I still don't think they stack up with the rest. I wouldn't be shocked if the Browns won this. I think I'd be shocked if the Steelers won this division. Just in year two of Kenny Pickett, I think it's asking a lot for him to take that big of a leap forward. I think these odds are about right, though, Matt. You and I have been high on the Bengals for years now. Like, that's not going to change. That's not going to go away. Ravens, Browns, I think they're second and third. And, yes, I would put the Ravens a bit, a half step ahead of the Browns. So I think these odds are pretty spot on to me.
Yeah, if Cincinnati runs pure, meaning Burrow stays healthy, the big offensive weapons stay healthy, they don't lose anything massive on the defense side of the ball, they should win the division. We know that football doesn't always run pure, and so some of these guys are going to end up hurt. They're going to miss games, and is that enough for a Ravens to sneak in or a Browns? Like, I think the Browns, I'm not going to say that people are sleeping on the Browns. The odds obviously don't say that they're sleeping on the Browns. It's plus 360 for them to win the division, but I think they should be considered a lot bigger of a contender than maybe just the general public is, because, again, this is a Deshaun Watson, before all the nonsense, this was a quarterback we were talking about in the same breath with all of the other superstar quarterbacks in the NFL, and out of sight, out of mind, all the things that were going on with him off the field. And then that changed, I think, maybe our perspective of him as a player, but I don't know if it necessarily should. I think that I kind of write off a lot of that last year with a dude that just hadn't played in forever and didn't know his teammates. And I expect to see a much better version of him this year, which means probably a much better version of this Brown squad. So it wouldn't surprise me if they found a way to sneak in should something happen to one of the major contributors for Cincinnati.
I think this is a good comparison. I think if you go from the AFC North to AFC South odds, like we're talking about, where I like the Bengals in the North, right? But at plus 130 with three other very capable teams in the division is not nearly enough value as a minus 150 on the Jags is to me with three terrible teams in their division, right? So that's where I comparing and contrasting how we look at these things, that's where this comes into play, where I think that Jags, I like that bet. Bengals, I couldn't get there. I don't think I could get there this year with that team in this division.
So the AFC East, you said you would play the Bills at the plus 130. That would be your bet.
If I had to. I don't know. That's not a bet for me right now.
We're going through the hypothetical if we had to make a bet on each one of these divisions. And we're taking the odds into consideration as well. Bills, 130 for you. I think I might play the Jets at 230 if I had to there. I don't know if the Bills are actually that much better than anybody else in that division. AFC West, I would still just lay the 165 with the Chiefs if I had to play it. I don't see any other way that I could get to one of these other teams. I mean, yes, there is. It rides on one player. And if something happened to Patrick Mahomes, then this division goes wide, wide, wide open. No doubt about that. But we don't go into these things assuming that one of these quarterbacks, one of these major contributors, is going to get injured. So If I'm thinking I'm getting 15 to 16 games of Patrick Mahomes, then 165 I think is appropriate. Mm. And I'll have to – the Chargers are going to have to prove it to me. Before I went down the road last year, you know, me and I, yep. we've did enough content together to know I was all over the Chargers and was trying to really boost them up. And I'm going to have to see it before I can actually buy into that. We're both on the Jags here, and I think this is still a bet that I like a whole lot more than maybe any of these other divisional bets that are out there. Minus 150 on this Jags team. I know you have to lay money here, but we are in a division that a really weak rosters could be three rookie quarterbacks that are going to be going outside of the Jags. Man, this one to me, Kelly, not offered here in Las Vegas, but if I make it to one of these other rest of country states, I think this one might actually end up in an account.
Yeah, I'm with you. What's funny is we don't usually talk about this at this point. I mean, it's May 2nd. Yeah. But, like, I actually think this is one you need to bet sooner than later.
I can only see this one going against
right.
you.
It's only moving one way, I think, yeah. this entire summer, and that is towards a steeper price on the Jags.
Yeah, because if the Titans came out and formally announced that Levis is going to be the starter, mm-hmm. and then the Colts come out and formally announced that Richardson is going to be the starter, that's not going to make anybody want to back those teams more, right? I mean, these are rookie quarterbacks that everybody says has some flaws and are going to need to take a little bit of reps in the NFL in order to move forward. So if anything, it's going to move against you.
Yeah.
So I think this would actually be the time to strike. Now, this is not for everyone's bankroll. I get that, locking up money for a year. I get it. But if it is your style of betting and you have the bankroll to accommodate, I think that getting a Jags ticket in before Levis has announced his starter, before Anthony Richardson's actually announced his starter, you already know what you're getting in the Texans with C.J. Stroud, who's going to be starting for them. The Jags come back with a veteran quarterback with a lot better roster than these other teams. 150 is only might be the best time we see this.
I think it probably will be. I mean, the other one to keep in mind is is Derrick Henry, right? I think we would have expected any move to be done with him during the draft or before the draft, but we've been hearing about that all offseason, so that's something that could potentially still happen as well. I think it is now. If you're interested in the Jags, I think you bet it now.
Let's get Kelly's thoughts on these NBA games tonight, and then we'll run through the NFC side of things as well. Is there any bets we like as good as the Jags bet on the AFC side? Stick around. It's a numbers game here on VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view the betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Kelly pulled back the curtain a little bit yesterday, and the reason you will see he and I and Wes Reynolds at the top of that thing every now and then, and it looks like that we are the best bettors in the entire world, is because we will hit a golf outright, and then it just rockets us to the top of that leaderboard. It doesn't even matter what. It'll be like 1-19, yeah. But it's like we're thousands of dollars ahead of everybody.
Yeah, disregard the 3-13 part of the record. Yeah,
we just rocket to the top of that leaderboard. So we have a little bit of an unfair advantage with all of the golf bets that we put in, for sure. All right, let's head over to the NFC East. We continue on with these divisional odds, and because I think that there are a little bit of value, and we just talked about the Jags, and I think this one might be for me as well, Kelly. I understand the Cowboys are certainly going to come into the conversation. They are plus 175 in that division. The Giants, who made the long-term commitment to Danny Dimes, what will they get done with Saquon Barkley? We shall see. They are 5-1. Washington Commanders, who are going to head into this season with Sam Howell at starting quarterback, are 9-1. But the Eagles just sitting there at still plus money, plus 115. It was already a stacked roster. It was already coming back with all of pretty much every single key contributor. I'm not even worried about Miles Sanders. You bring in DeAndre Swift. He's actually a more versatile player, in my opinion, as it is anyway. And then you knock it out of the park with the draft like they did. I think catching plus money here for this Eagles squad, we have to assume health, guys, always assuming health, is a pretty good bet here. I actually like them as the favorite in this division, and I would have thought that they'd be a little bit of slight minus money. I know the Cowboys are always going to draw interest. They are the Cowboys. They are America's team. They have a big fan base. And the fan base is located across the entire United States, including a bunch of legalized sports betting states where they're going to get futures bets placed. But I like the Eagles. Give me the Eagles a plus 115. And again, if I make it to one of those states that we are talking about, I'll probably put this in the account as well.
Yeah, we got none of these available in Vegas.
Not yet.
That stinks.
Not yet.
This would or will be bet number two for me. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Eagles, this one doesn't make any sense to me, Matt. Like, this is – we do this a lot. Like, JVT and I will do this a lot when we're talking about basketball spreads, right, NBA yeah. spreads, and comparing them to what they were the last time teams matched up or something like that. Look at what these odds were last offseason. They were around similar numbers, right, with the Eagles and Cowboys, yeah. where they're at. And what did you see last season? You saw this Eagles team really grow up, come into form, make a Super Bowl, and we're seeing these close of odds again this offseason? I'm with you. This is a bet. Eagles at plus money, I don't get that one. I would be betting this one right away.
Yeah, this is not to say that the Cowboys are going to be a bad team.
No.
The Cowboys can be a good team. They can still make the playoffs, all of that. But to win this division and overcome the Eagles, I think it's another one of those deals where, unlike we're talking about in some of these other divisions where, yeah, you could see these other teams creeping in, I think it would take a serious injury on the Eagles side of things for me not to believe that this team is the clear favorite, much clearer than a plus 115 number that is currently on them right now. The Cowboys can be perfectly fine. I think the Cowboys will be perfectly fine. I think they'll probably make the playoffs. I'm not going to discount them from that aspect, but if they – and I also kind of look at this as a two-team bet, right? Like, I don't see the Giants or Washington playing any sort of role in this whatsoever. So we're kind of making a head-to-head bet on this, and I'm getting plus 115 in a head-to-head.
I was just going to clear that up because I guess the way that I just spoke about that, I am speaking about it exactly like that. It is a two-team bet.
Yeah.
If for some reason the Giants, I guess, come out of nowhere and win this, I don't know if I could really factor that in because I guess there is a small possibility of that you got to keep in mind. But for basically a two-team matchup bet, I don't get this kind of price. I mean, the Cowboys to win this division, Matt, the defense is going to have to play just as well as it did last year, and Dak Prescott's going to have to look like he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know what has led you to believe that Dak's going to look like that in 1 year's time, right?
Exactly. We've seen flashes, but flashes aren't going to win you divisions over a team as stacked as the Eagles, right? Like, you got to see that week in, week out. And I don't know. Until I see it with my own eyes, I like the Eagles a ton right there. NFC North. Is the Lions at plus 110? Yes, the Detroit Lions are plus 110 favorites to win the NFC North. The Vikings at plus 350, the Bears plus 350, and then the Packers at 5-1. Now, this is a favorite I don't like in a division because I think that this number is not indicative of how close these rosters are, in my opinion. I do agree that on paper, the Lions do have the best roster of anyone in this division now that Aaron Rodgers has left. But I do not think they are a plus 110 when everyone else is 3.5-1 or longer. I actually think that all of these teams are much, much closer to the Lions. I would bring them back to the pack here. I get it. Kirk Cousins, older, doesn't have a ton of weapons now. Thielen's out of town, et cetera, et cetera. I get that. I fully understand. The Bears were not on a week-to-week basis, didn't have any sort of offensive production about half the time. I get that as well. And then the Packers don't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. But what if Jordan Love is good? And if Jordan Love is good, that roster's not all that bad and certainly not that far of a difference between the Lions and the Packers as far as this goes. So for me, I think if I had to make a bet, I'd probably bet the Packers. Like, what if I would be betting that year four Jordan Love, after sitting and the limited amount of stuff that we've seen from him in preseason when he did have to get in regular season, he didn't look terrible. Now he knows he's the starter. He's the guy not looking to sit over on the sideline anymore. I think if I was making a bet in this one, I'd probably take the long shot Packers in this division that I think is much more up for grabs than the odds indicate.
This is one I'm not running to make right now, Matt. I'll wait for the summer to play out here a little bit more. We've heard some rumors about maybe their star running back getting traded. But Vikings, I would be back on again for like the
back on the Vikes, baby.
Yeah,
back on the Vikes.
But it's all the price, right? Like, yeah. This is the same thing. Let's compare this division to what it was a year ago. We basically made this. I made a bet on the Vikings last year, where you at basically this same number when the Packers were essentially in what the Lions slot was,
right,
with Aaron Rodgers on that team. I'm more scared of what that Packers team was a year ago than what this Lions team is this year, even though I think they could be very – I think the Lions could be good. But Vikings at plus 350, there's too much there for me to pass up on that again.
NFC West, the 49ers. Yes, the 49ers, who don't know who's going to play quarterback for them, are minus 150 favorites in this division. Seahawks are plus 225. Rams are 6-1, and the Cardinals – are 25-1. Wipe the Cardinals off of this. They're going to be one of the, if not the worst teams in the NFL. So three-team race. If you don't believe that the Rams are going to bounce back, okay, let's say it's a two-team race between the Seahawks and the 49ers. I still would be betting the Seahawks over the 49ers in this one. I would still even probably bet the Rams before I would even bet the 49ers in this division, strictly based off of what I just said. Who is going to play quarterback for the 49ers? We do not know who is going to be under center. And Of the names we do know that are possibilities, it's going to be one guy coming off a major injury, another guy coming off of a major injury to his throwing arm, and then a retread in Sam Darnold. Like, what are we doing? Minus 150 on the 49ers here at the most important position in all of sports is the quarterback position, and that is the one thing that they have a question mark around. That's wild to me. I think the Seahawks would be the bet here. I think the Rams would even be the bet here over the 49ers in a divisional based off of the odds here, guys. We do these bets based off of the odds, not off what we think that could happen on stuff on paper. This is based off of the odds that we are getting. They're not a minus 150 favorite without a quarterback. They're just not, Kelly.
Yeah, and, you know, again, based off the odds, that if I had to make a bet here, this would be Rams or pass.
Yeah.
It would be take a flyer on the Rams or I'm not doing it.
They get a bounce back season from Stafford. You still have Sean McVay. You still have a guy that might be able to get the maximum amount out of that roster, all those different things. I mean, he came back. Got to think about that, right? He must think there's something there because he was about to retire, and then he chose to come back. So he must not think that this roster is completely washed. So, I'm with you. It's either – it'd be one of the next two, certainly not the Cardinals, or a pass for me. NFC South, anyone's division, which is why the Saints should not be as big a favorites, in my opinion, as they are. Plus 110. Falcons are plus 275. Panthers are plus 330, and then the Bucs are down there at 9. I think that is right for them to be the long shot in the division. But we talked to Eric Eager yesterday. He actually said he would just bet the Falcons and the Panthers to beat the Saints in this division. I think that's certainly a way that you could attack this and lock up a couple of teams where you would get a profit if one of those teams were to come out of this division. But if you want to talk about the biggest toss-up in all the NFL, it is the NFC South, without a doubt. Who knows what any of these teams are going to look like?
I have no idea. This is what I can't even imagine putting a bet in on this division. I don't even, like, Falcons and Panthers, like, I'm not confident enough in both those teams to do that. This is a complete pass for me.
But what is the NFC South going to look like? I mean, this could be a complete train wreck each and every week whenever we look at this. It might be this beautiful disaster for us, though. Like, every week we're just can't wait to watch the horrible football that's happening in the NFC South.
I mean, look, the Saints should be this price if I knew they were going to do the unstoppable play every time. And, you know, that's just line up old Taysom Hill under center and push forward. Everybody get behind him. Push forward. We'll take 3 yards at a time every single time.
It's going to be great. Panthers, though, at plus 330. They got a good roster. It's just, can they get league average quarterback play out of Bryce Young? Might be the play there in the NFC South. We'll take a look at these NBA games tonight on the other side. Close out a numbers game here on BC.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points, and you can redeem those for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM reward points. You can use up and down the strip here, 20 different MGM resort properties on the strip and nationwide. Sign up at BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Now, eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make the appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older. New and existing customers do get this offer. All promotional are subject to qualification eligibility requirements. Rewards issued, non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets do expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gamble problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. On all that, let's kick things off with our little pro tip here. You get these once a show. You can go get all of them over at VSiN.com. And this is something we just talked about right here. And I do think this is going to play out. Now, we might be proven wrong on this pro tip, but I don't think that we will.
I don't think so.
If you're interested in betting the Jags for the AFC South, the number that you're getting today might actually be the best number that you're going to get. As we mentioned, I cannot imagine a ton of support coming for the Titans if the Titans choose to go with Will Levis. I can't imagine a ton of support coming in for the Colts if it's officially announced it's not going to be Gardner Minshew, it's going to be Anthony Richardson. So the thought here is you know what you're getting in the Jags today, and you don't know exactly what information is going to trickle out about these other teams, which probably will only move the sentiment of the AFC South towards the Jaguars a little bit further. So again, we're thinking that that number might be the best one that you get today. Kelly, I'm looking. Heat coach Eric Spoelstra said, Jimmy Butler, probably a game time decision. That's fun. So when we're trying to bet games, yeah, that's fun. Game time decision. As we sit right now, the Heat are 6.5-point dogs to the Knicks. It is a 206.5 total. And I don't want to say that that makes this game impossible to handicap, but it kind of almost makes this game impossible to handicap, because if there is no Jimmy Butler, I mean, like a limited Jimmy Butler is one thing. No Jimmy Butler is definitely another. You probably have better insights to this than I do, but man, you're sitting here, the guy that has been the guy for this team. This is not a scenario where it's like, if Jimmy Butler can't go, you can get X person to step up. This is not one of those scenarios like we saw last night with the Sixers where Joel Embiid cannot go. And you have James Harden, by the way, if you're too young to remember, I hadn't been paying attention, was one of the very premier scorers in all the NBA not too far ago. Like the fact that he went for 45 last night was not out of the realm of possibility or anything. The Heat do not possess that on this team. If Jimmy Butler does not go, it is going to be very, very, very tough putt for them. So I don't know. What are you? How are you playing this? Or are you just not playing this?
The tougher one here is, I mean, yeah, if we just had to wait on Jimmy Butler news, it'd be one thing. But you've got the Knicks. I mean, Julius Randle, he remains questionable. I think that's more on the doubtful side than probable of questionable, but still questionable. Jimmy Butler, by the way, officially listed as questionable. But like you said, Spo did say game time decision. I wouldn't expect any information before about an hour before the game then on him. The one that was really kind of concerning that popped up yesterday, if you're a Knicks fan, is Jalen Brunson got put on the injury report as questionable with an ankle. So I would expect he goes. But, man, this is too tough. For betting tonight, Matt, like, I can't side total. All this gets affected. Player props, even. With how much usage these guys get, when you talk about a Jimmy Butler and a Jalen Brunson, like, it is really difficult as we sit here this morning. I know that's a really cop-out, horrible answer. But this is what I'll just be watching, rooting for the Knicks. I do have a Knicks series bet, smaller bet in on for them. So I'll be looking for them to even things tonight with Miami. But this one's really tough to bet. I think the later game, a much better, more fun betting game tonight.
Let me give you the if this and if this, then this statement for this game, in which is like everyone's going to forget by the time this comes around anyway. But so if Jimmy Butler does not go and if Julius Randle does not go,
which I think is most likely going to happen,
Obi Toppin is going to be inserted into the starting lineup for the Knicks. That means if you have Jimmy Butler, who's not taking these high percentage shots inside the arc and he's able to get in all of the, you would expect more misses from the Heat just in general because you're not taking as high percentage shots. And Obi Toppin, I think, is a really good rebounding prop bet.
Okay.
If again, he's in the starting lineup for Julius Randle, and if we don't have Jimmy Butler in there, I would still probably play it anyway so long as he's in the starting lineup for Julius Randle. But Obi Toppin is a guy that is, I think, if the rebounding prop is set, let me just go ahead and throw it at 3.5 to 4.5. If it's 4.5, I would probably play the over on it. 3.5, I would definitely play the over on it. He's going to get more minutes. We know he's going to get about 30 plus minutes in this game if he's starting in place of Julius Randle. And again, if Jimmy Butler is out or even Jimmy Butler is severely limited, I think it's going to create more bad shots for the Heat. I think there's going to be more rebounding opportunities. I think there's going to be more clanks off the rim, and I think Obi Toppin would be a decent bet for that one. But again, I know that's an if, and whatever, and those aren't really always the best. Look at that late game. You said there's a little bit betting opportunity here. 4.5 in favor of the Warriors. 227 is your total. If you want the Lakers on the money line, you think that they win this thing outright, plus 160 there.
Yeah, it was disappointed when the series price came out, Matt, because I was looking to bet the Lakers in this series, but I thought I'd be getting closer to about plus 170, plus 180 with them. Thought that the Warriors would be about minus 200 favorite in the series price. Not seeing that. I do think this game won, though. I think there's a big opportunity for the Lakers. Drew talked about it earlier on the show. I agree with him. I bet the Lakers first half money line already. I think we're asking a quick turnaround from the Golden State Warriors off of that game 7. Steph Curry playing a ton of minutes, a ton of shots, shooting so pure to come back home right away with this Lakers team that's had a little extra rest time, been able to do a little bit more video work with the Warriors. I think there's a good chance the Lakers go into San Francisco and steal this first game tonight. Only thing I've played so far is the first half money line. I haven't decided what I'm going to do full game side. I might look to just hop in live at some point with that. I also like Drew's underplay, though. That's something that I'm probably going to land on as well. Waiting to see where this number moves, though, right now. Really hasn't moved too much between 227, 228. Actually, now we're starting to see some of those under bets come in. More flat 227 in the market right now. So, yeah, under, I might also play that. I might play that actually right as soon as the show ends tonight. Yeah. I think it's a lot asking Golden State to come back and really have a high-level offensive performance in this game. And they match up, though. They're going to be a tough matchup for the Lakers, though, throughout this series.
This is going to be a lot of speculating that comes into play here, but if you were listening to Steve Kerr talking to Steph Curry in game 7 there against the Kings, he was talking about how he was going to take timeouts to get Steph a breather and how he was like, hey, listen, I might just take a timeout to get you a chance to sit down, et cetera. Like, very concerned with the workload and the minutes that Steph had put in and understanding that you got to have a fresh Steph to have any sort of chance whatsoever. Kelly, his point total is set at 32.5 tonight at several of the books out there. If this game, if you believe that the Lakers could possibly win this game and maybe even get out to any sort of big lead at any point later on in this game, if you think that this line is way off, if you think this is not appropriate of what this game should be, I think Steve Kerr gets Steph to the bench as quickly as he can and doesn't just burn minutes on him if the game gets out of hand. Like, yep. If the game, and again, 33 points on a point is a lot anyway, right? I mean, like, to score 33 points in a game is a lot anyway, and it's certainly much, much harder to do if you're playing not your full allotment of minutes. And so just something to keep in mind if you are out there believing that the game might play out in that direction.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make, and I did just see some numbers flash here on this Heat-Knicks game. So let's circle back, Matt, because, of course, we have Jimmy Butler participating in shoot-around this
week. Okay.
Now, what does that mean? I have no idea.
Because
right?
Joel Embiid shot around yesterday, too, but we're passing along information, people.
We are passing along
information. Do with it what you will, right? I mean, like, we're just trying to make you more informed, better here.
Like, guess what? I could participate in the Heat shoot around too. That doesn't mean I'm going to be very effective on the court.
I can assure you, I would not be very effective. like doing. How many? We still got to get the free throw bet done. We still got to get the field goal thing done. We still got to get all these different things done. But I can assure you, I would not be very effective at all. That's not going to happen for me. We will have long shots a little bit later today. We thought we might be able to get to some golf. Not going to be able to squeeze it in. So if you do want to tune in a little bit later this evening, me, Kelly, and Wes will be able to run through our full thoughts there of the Wells Fargo over at Quail Hollow and see if there's anything that we might be gleaning. Early returns for me, Kelly, maybe 3 or 4 outrights. That's about going to be about it. I think that's where I'm going to be at.
Yeah, one interesting thing I'm just noticing here today, Patrick Cantlay switching caddies. We'll discuss more. Wes Reynolds, I'm sure we'll have a
what does it mean?
What does it mean?
Will he putt better because he has a new caddy? Who knows? We'll see. Wes will have some sort of insight on it. There's no doubt about that. Appreciate you guys letting me be on the desk here for a numbers game last couple of days. Stick around. It's the Lombardi Line.